again, if you're one of the folks that's watching our videos on the internet and you want to know anything more about our church, you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact us. Now, Graham's going to be speaking this morning about our relationships with non-believers. All of us have friends and family and neighbors and co-workers who aren't Christians. And so this is part of the series of messages that we're doing on topics that have been requested by the church congregation. And we got some curly questions about how to handle certain tough situations with non-believing friends. If they maybe ask us to do something that compromises our Christian principles, or how do we relate lovingly with non-Christians when there are certain obstacles that might put a strain on our relationship. And so we decided to do a pair of messages, one on building up good relationships with our non-Christian acquaintances and friends, and the other on what to do then when one of these hairy situations arises. So it's about building smooth roads with non-believers around us, and then it's about what to do when there's an obstacle in the road. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and invite Graham to come up, and we'll pray for him, and then we'll hear what he's got to say. Thank you, Graham. Our great God and loving Father, we look to you as the one who's going to restore the whole world, to make a new heavens and new earth where there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. We look forward to the day when your son Jesus returns and makes all things new. But in the meantime, Lord, you've given us a job to do, which is to proclaim the message of your son Jesus, his death for our sins and his resurrection from the dead. Proclaim that to the world around us so that they too might find eternal life in him. We thank you, Lord, for Graham and for what he has to say to us today about building good relationships with non-Christians. We pray, Lord, that we will go home reflective about how we can relate to our non-believing friends and family. And we pray, Father, that when there are problems, when we offend someone who's not a Christian, it's not us, but it's because they're offended at Jesus himself. We pray that as far as we're able, we'll make the message of our Savior attractive to the world, just as your word tells us. We thank you, Lord, and we pray for the furtherance of your kingdom on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, so Christian and non-Christian road building. And you'll pick the emphasis that I've chosen. It's actually about building relationships. So I've got a question to ask you. Could you please, you've got to think about this. When most people become a Christian, it's a process. It takes time. Except weird people like me, I heard the message for the first time when I was 12 years of age and went out and said to the speaker, if you love God, how do you love me back? And something real happened. That's not normal. So think of the process, the journey that you went through. And I want to ask you if you would mind standing. I hope it's going to be interesting to see how many people are standing. Would you stand if there was a Christian friend that somehow was woven into you becoming a Christian? Either they were a friend that walked with you, or they were somebody who invited you to something, because most of us are old, and that's how a lot of us became Christians. You got invited to things. So there was a Christian friend somewhere involved in your journey in coming to Jesus. Could you stand up, please? Okay, have a look around. I thought there might be more. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And wouldn't you love to hear their story? I think I'll just sit down. I put enough pain into this, we should present it. So I'm going to speak this week on road building, which is really about making sure you have Christian friends. And Larry's going to pick up next week obstacles that can occur. And to be honest, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm cheating. I'm going to share with you some of the things that have really resonated with me from the training that a number of the leaders in the church are getting in from Evangelism Shift. So I'm going to share four of the principles with you today. And then at the end, have a little time for you to think about. about it and just says, what is God saying to me today? Because God's actually supposed to speak to us when we have speakers on Sundays, right? Happy with that? Good, good. Okay, first thing I want to share with you, it's not a real word, but the thing that really struck me, first of all, in Evangelism Shift, was this word called sentness. Now, there is no such word as sentness in the English language. But this is a summary of the key points that were made. First of all, the Father sent the Son into the world, right? We all know that, don't we? John 3:34 says, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure." God sent his Son. We're all clear on that, aren't we? And there's more to sentness. So not only is the Father a sending Father, the Father and the Son send the Spirit into the world. So you'll know these verses, John 14:26, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said to you." Well, John 15:26, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send," Jesus says, "who I will send to you from the Father, he will testify about me." And of course, Acts 1:8. "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." So we have the Father and the Son send the Spirit into the world. And then I'm sure it won't surprise you that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that's the Godhead, they are sending us. John 17:18 is the classic. Jesus prayed to the Father, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." So, folks, how do you feel about being sent? Because that is clearly what the scriptures are teaching us. That we are sent, we are ambassadors, and let's even be more explicit. So the concept is, whatever you and I are doing as a Christian, we are sent by the Godhead into every encounter, every person that we meet, in every circumstance, in every day of our life. That doesn't mean necessarily that we're preaching the gospel in all those situations, but can you get this sense of sentness? Now, I've been a Christian for a long, long time, and when that was presented, and it's based on the Gospel of John, and in our workbook, have a guess how many times the word sent is used, and it's either about God sending, Jesus sending, the Holy Spirit sending, or us being sent. 47 times in the Gospel of John it's mentioned. Do you think it could be a thing? I think so. Now, I just found that really encouraging and quite freeing to think, oh, so whatever I'm doing, wherever I'm going, except when I watch football, that's not counted. We are ambassadors. We are representing this God that we follow. So it's actually a lifestyle. It's a mindset. And another picture that Paul picks up later, he says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us." So who does God make his appeal through these days? Through us. And I think in the past, we've treated that with a huge heaviness. Man, this is the tough bit, you know, you're supposed to be witnessing. And yet the things that I've taken away from Evangelism Shift are so life-giving. So the first principle is this concept of sentness. The second principle that I wanted to share with you today is it's actually a relationship journey. Particularly in Australia, one of the greatest ways of us sharing our faith or being that sort of ambassador is in relationship with not yet Christian people. So the second principle is, or if you want to use the road building picture, the road building is about you and I being very involved in the lives of people who aren't Christians. And you know, another danger in having been a Christian for a long time is you finish up only with Christian friends. So this is a challenge. This is a challenge to us. So how do we turn acquaintances into real friends? And there's a lovely example, these are probably more than acquaintances, but lovely example again in John's Gospel, where you've got Andrew meets Jesus, and he goes straight to Peter, come and meet. There's an introduction through relationship. And then Philip does the same with Nathaniel. So even in the days when Jesus is here and you can introduce people to him, the same principle is applied. But I think this principle is really critical for Australia as a major way of sharing the faith. So we've all got acquaintances, but how do we turn them into authentic relationships? And relationships or friendships that God directs us toward. Well, here's some tips, and these are again from our Evangelism Shift book. So one way is to recognize time together is the foundation of friendship. So folks, maybe today is the day to be reminded we need to be involved in the lives of not yet Christian people. You know, we've got a number of people retiring now. We have an older congregation here. There's an opportunity to get involved in community things where not yet Christian people the same age as us are there, and we can build relationships. And I know that's a challenge because lots of us are involved in trying to run this church. So these are things that need to run parallel. We are involved in the church. We do care for our brothers and sisters. And we're called to be involved building authentic relationships. And they take time. Involving people in more than one sphere of your life creates friendship. So not only does it take time, but how open would we be willing to be to build relationships and spend time with people who are not yet Christian? One of the greatest ways in our country is eating together. It opens people up. It deepens friendships. Inviting people over for a coffee. Inviting people over for lunch. Going out to a restaurant together. Builds relationships. And another obvious one is find shared interests and areas of commonality and build on them. Shared hobbies, exercise, music tastes, sports. The two couples which Lorraine and I are building lovely relationships with at the moment, our partners, is based on my cycling. One of them saw that I rode a bike and they approached me in the lift one day, and from that's come a relationship where we go out together, we had a beautiful meal at their house last Sunday, and you know what? They're both chefs. Good friends. Woo! You should have seen the meal. It was fantastic. And then when the dessert came, I've never seen so many bits can be fitted on a plate. Very impressive. We said we'd like to come back every Sunday. But food is a way of building relationships. And, of course, if we do these things and they do take time in our lives and it is an investment, not all friendships will develop at the same pace. And not all acquaintances will want to become our friends. And there's a real godly principle attached to all of this. So what if you, and I know people already do, what if you're investing a lot of time in a person who's not a Christian and they make it very clear they have no intention of following your Lord? So unless God was to really lead us away from that relationship, be very inappropriate. Oh, okay, they're not interested in my faith, I'll drop them. So we're talking about being authentic here, and we're talking about trusting God to open up opportunities. So that's a challenge to think about. Are we authentically engaged with not yet Christian people? That's how we became Christians. The third principle, which comes out very strongly, and it won't surprise anybody, It's to engage in prayer for your not yet Christian friends. To really be a prayer warrior. And I just wanted to share with you three, I'll come back to this later. I will mention this now. One of the things that I found really helpful, I know other people have in evangelism should, is we're encouraged to pray about and identify three. In Lorraine and I's case, we've done three couples that we really are committed to spending time with and looking for opportunities just to be ourselves, which includes sharing our faith. And I'd love for that to be a challenge that our church took on. So we'll finish with that today. Would you consider going away from a little talk today and asking God to show you, are there already people or are there new people that you would be willing to go on a journey with, in that God may want to use you to bring them into the kingdom? Praying for friends. These are three prayers that I thought were really, really encouraging. The first is to pray, God, open a door for my witness. Open an opportunity or a door for me to talk naturally about my faith. So Colossians 4, 2-6 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us that God may open a door for the word. God can do that for just ordinary people like you and me. He can open an opportunity. So we pray that for our friends. The second prayer that we can pray is, God, open their hearts to hear the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. So praying that people's hearts would be open. And then, this is the big one, and to be honest, this is the biggest step for me personally. But being a Christian for a long time is not to be reticent about my faith. Not to be belligerent and rude and insensitive, but to talk naturally, like I would talk about cycling or about football, to be able to talk about my involvement in the kingdom of God. And I've been doing that a lot more. So people that I'm meeting and building now know I go to church. When people say, what are you doing on the weekend? Go straight past church. Oh, we're going to see the family. So it's about, God, open my mouth to speak boldly. So pray for me, Ephesians 6 says, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So there's a place for you and I just to speak naturally about our faith. So the principle of sentness, putting ourselves before God and putting time into genuine relationship with not yet Christian people and prayer. And the last one that I want to share is, to me, the one that's been the most exciting. It's about getting rid of the fear to do with talking about our faith and just trusting the Spirit of God to open those opportunities up. So I want to read to you, I meant to bring it to show you, but we have a diary, 365 readings and short messages that the people who are doing Evangelism Shift are doing. It's a journal and you make notes. And over again, there is this message, it's not your job to bring people into the kingdom of God. It's not your job to have to worry about when's the right time to speak. And it keeps coming over and over and over again. And I wanted to read one to you. I don't know if the print might be too small. But this is just one. And I want to read it to you. Please follow as I read. The scripture is John 16, verses 7 to 11. And it says, the scripture says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. This is Jesus talking. Better I go away.
For if I go away, the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, will come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment concerning sin. Because they do not believe in me concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. So, based on this work, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, this is what the writer says. When you live as a witness, convincing people to trust in Jesus is not up to you. As a witness, you will love the people around you. That's the genuine relationship. You'll invest in your relationships with unchurched people you encounter. You'll look for opportunities to speak about life issues on the deeper level. You'll share with them about your relationship with God, and you'll weave the gospel into your conversations. But none of those things will bring a person to salvation. What you do is not the most important factor. It's what the Spirit does is the key. The Holy Spirit takes your words and takes and fills them with the spiritual power that penetrates into a person's heart and mind, convicting and convincing. You must cultivate the awareness of the Spirit's presence with you as you interact with those who need Christ. Even as you walk and relate to them, be in prayer, asking for insight and for the Spirit's anointing on your words and actions. There's power in that way of living. Folks, I'm more and more convinced that was how God intended we should be witnesses. It's not the big deal, which we may have made it, or maybe we just skewed off a little bit to think, oh gosh, this sharing your faith business. It's about trusting Jesus. Now, we had this lovely lunch with these friends the other week, and I've never been so relaxed in the presence of people that I actually would love to see come into the kingdom and endeavouring to be an absolute, genuine friend. Because I'm just seeking to listen to the Spirit. And there was a tiny little connection that was raised. But Ray and I went home and I felt more at peace than I didn't feel I had to. I've got to say something. I've got to get something for God in here. Just trust in the Spirit. It's a far better way to live. And it also means that you can build friendships not thinking, oh gosh, I haven't said anything for God yet. Just the Spirit is the one who will open things up. So they're the four things I want to share with you today. And I have found them so encouraging and so freeing. So what I'd like to ask you to do, sorry that this is a monologue, but that's sort of the way we've got to do it. These are the things that I've covered this morning. And I'd like to just walk through those with you and then stop. And just for a couple of minutes, give you a few moments to, has God been saying something or encouraging you in these four points that have been presented today? So the whole concept of sentness, the importance of having not yet Christian friends as an area that we should be engaged in. Would you consider praying for three not yet Christian friends that you're willing to actually journey with? And to pray for the open door, the open heart, the open mouth, and relax and trust the Holy Spirit for the opportunities. Let him do the work, and we'll just seek to be there and available. So I'd like to just stop there for a moment. Could you muse on those things, ask the Spirit of God to speak to you, and then I will close in a prayer. don't know if you've noticed, but one of the things that we've all been trying to do is to be practical in our teaching and give you some time to think about some of the things that have been presented. So I've actually taken some of the slides, the one on sentness, the one on praying for friends, the one on trusting the Holy Spirit, and then this one. I've just put them on A4 front and back. I'm going to put the copies down on the table at the back. If you'd be interested in taking this beyond today, taking these as a reminder, praying about who these people might be, that would make those of us who are speaking very encouraged, because we're very keen that we play with this stuff. We just don't hear it, and then we just go home and it's forgotten. Should we pray? Gracious God, we do want to thank you for truly the most beautiful, beautiful story of your sentness, your love in sending your Son, Father and Son sending the Spirit, and Lord, now we who know you, the privilege of walking with you, and Lord, we have a deep desire in our hearts to share Jesus with people in our lives. We ask that you'd lead us to people that we might be true friends to. And our prayer and our hope would be to be able to share our faith, and that would attract them to be your ambassadors, to represent you. Father, we do believe that in your Spirit we can do that, and we can do it in a relaxed manner. Show us the way forward, we pray, as we give thanks for this wonderful, wonderful message. We really want to get it out on the table, Lord, not under the table. We love to be sharing our faith with others. And we ask that you guide us in that way. In Jesus' name, please. Amen. Thank you.